Some of you are like, what are you talking about? You don't even realize that she had a little blurb in there. She covered it so well. Well, praise the Lord. I'd like to, honey, you said we have some announcements? One week. This Sunday. It's on Sunday, right? The 9th. Okay. Right after church, we're going to be running over to... Here, you want to give the announcement? I don't want to screw it up.
Oh. So 1 week from today, there's a benefit over at the Ramada Inn. And there's all kinds of festivities going on that day. In the morning, there's a walk. So if you like to walk, it's at 9 in the morning. You can walk 3 miles and just enjoy the weather and get sponsors for that. And all the money goes to Wendy. At 12 to 2, there is a buffet if anybody wants tickets for that. See either Rhonda. Do you still have some? My mother or I, we all have tickets for that. And from 2 to 5, there'll be music and games and face painting and all kinds of fun stuff for the kids, popcorn and slushy machines and all that good, glorious stuff. We need help. We need workers. We need volunteers. The color, her favorite color is purple, so everything we're doing is purple. And I asked Miss Autumn if she would do me a favor. I bought her some purple, white, and black bandies, and she made a whole bunch of these bracelets. If anybody would like to purchase one of these bracelets, it's by donation, and all the money for that goes to Wendy also. And I have a bunch of them in this bag. You can buy them today, or you can get them on the day of the event. But we need workers, we need helpers. So if that's something that you're willing to do, just let me or Rhonda know, and we'll let you know. I mean, all kinds. Some is just sitting at a table and, you know, taking a head count, and some is running all over the place. So there's you know, hard work and there's easy work, but it's all work that we can do. And she needs our support. Rhonda needs our help with this. So if that's something you're willing to do, please let us know. We'd appreciate it. I also need 2 people to help volunteer for Children's Church next Sunday, because I'm not sure.
Okay.
That's why I needed the announcements. I need 2 hands.
Okay. So that's... So next Sunday, I hope I'm not the only one at church, but next Sunday we do have things to do, and it's going to go and to bless this young woman. How old is Wendy? How old? 44? 44 with melanoma cancer. And praise God, we're going to defeat that thing in the name of Jesus, right? Amen. Also, the 22nd and 23rd is the annual block party in Genesee Park. We'll definitely need some help, some workers there as well, but also encourage you to grab as many people as you can to go out there and enjoy the ministries that take place on those days. Tonight we'll be here at 6 o'clock continuing our Bible study and walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, and Wednesday night, celebrate recovery. And so, children, you want to go downstairs? Have I kept you too long already? Yeah? Be blessed. Enjoy what God has for you down there today. I'd like to welcome our visitors. I trust that God is just moving in your heart today and drawing you closer to Him. I hope that you enjoy this morning's communion and service, and that God's presence will just touch you and draw Him closer to you. And so God bless you and welcome. This morning I want to continue something I started last week. Last week, if you remember, I called this the Master Key. I believe these 5 verses, and of course there's more verses, of course there's other roadmaps and things of this nature. But I believe that in these 5 keys, these 5 verses, that we can find a master key for our Christian lives. It starts out with salvation, and it ends up in preaching the gospel to every creature. I believe that God's call is for each and every one of us. I believe that he wants us all to be saved. He wants us all to grow in wisdom and knowledge of him, and he wants us all to become those who bear fruit for his kingdom, and that will not happen if we don't intentionally take steps to do that, to move forward in God's will. While we're on earth, we have a purpose. God designed us, God created us, God called us, and he's given us a purpose. Are we fulfilling his purpose? I saw a thing this morning. I was looking on the internet for a minute, and something that I came across, and I've seen this before, where it's believed that within the next, I don't know how many years, not too many years coming forward, they claim that the majority of the earth will be populated with Muslims. And they say that because numerically it works out. Muslim people have a lot of children. In America today, it seems like culture has declined in having children. It used to be that, well, there's certain families that still have several. Praise God, you're doing your part. But most of Americans today have one or two children. And that's it. If you look at other cultures, you know, Spanish cultures, lots of kids. Different other cultures, lots of kids. And the claim is, of course, it's a fear thing. You know, strike fear in your heart. Oh, my gosh, you know, the whole world's going to be, you know, taken captive numerically because of all the childbirths being born into Islam. And when I see something like that, I don't really get too afraid of that, because you never... One thing that they leave out of the whole equation is the God factor. I've heard stories of you know, Muslim nations over in the Middle East where Christianity is the fastest growing religion. And so it doesn't matter what you're born into on this earth as far as your culture and your physical location as to what God you will serve. What matters is the God that gets a hold of your heart. It's our job. God has given the task to us to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. And if the church in America or the church anywhere in the world will stand up and answer the call, we will get to that place where we're on that last verse on the bottom of the screen there, where we go into all the world and preach the gospel. And what happens when you preach the gospel, when you tell others about Jesus Christ? Somebody's going to respond. Maybe not all, but some. And I believe in the last days that God will work through his church in a powerful way. I believe that signs and wonders will begin to pick up again. There seems to have been a lull, but the Bible says that those who believe, and one way you can tell who the believers are is signs and wonders will be following them. And in the last days, it says that he will pour out his spirit on all flesh. I'm looking forward for that. But we have to be intentionally doing our part. I'm going to talk about these first two verses a little bit more, but there must come a pivotal transition in our walk with Christ where we go from being a disciple to being a discipler. If you are learning of Christ, if you're new to the Lord, that's a wonderful thing. You are blessed, you are saved. But God has a plan to help you grow in wisdom and knowledge of him. He wants you to become a discipler. You're a disciple right now. A disciple is somebody who's being taught, is somebody who is learning. But the day is going to come when he wants to call you to disciple somebody else. Everybody needs to be able to say this: I'm a preacher of the gospel. Can you say that right now? Can you say, I'm a preacher of the gospel? I'm not saying that you have to become a pastor like me, or an apostle, or a prophet, or an evangelist, or a teacher. Although that's what Ephesians says will happen. And if you will take up the call where God has placed you, you can become an apostle, or a prophet, or an evangelist, or a pastor, or a teacher in the place, in your part of the world, in your family, in your workplace, wherever it is that God has called you. And you might not see yourself as one of those, you know, with a label, But the bottom line is this: we all must be telling people about Jesus. And so I want to talk a little bit about these two verses. Matthew 4, verse 7, repent, verse 17, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In Matthew 16, 24, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Now remember what I talked about. You know, that pivotal verse, Matthew 4, 19. I'll go back there just for the one right in the middle. Follow me and I will make you fishers of men. I put a little post online the other day. It said something about every believer is in the confines of this verse. Do you understand that? You are somewhere within the confines of that verse if you're a believer in Jesus Christ. You may have just accepted him as your Savior and just started following him. And if that's you, then you're right at the beginning there. But somewhere along the line, God wants you to become a fisher of men. And so we're all within that verse somewhere. And so I want to talk about the verses. I want to talk about the transition that takes place in our lives. And to do that, the first thing I want to talk about is these two particular verses today. Because in these verses, there are some requirements. Following Jesus comes with some requirements. Are you aware of that? How many know when you go to work, you get hired someplace, there's some requirements, isn't there? You don't just show up and get a paycheck, right? If you know where there's a job where you can just show up and get a paycheck, let us know. I'm sure we'd all like to just walk in the door and sit down and say, okay, where's the check? Unfortunately, that mentality has found its way into American society, and it's very sad. But we need to have a work ethic. If we want to please our bosses, if we want to please those who are over us, we've got to fulfill some requirements. And the requirements that the first two verses in our little master key here talk about are these three things: repentance. The first verse, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Humility. If any man comes after me, let him deny himself, and obedience, and take up his cross and follow me. Certain requirements. And so again, we can go back and we can look at our own lives. Have I repented of my sin? And hopefully the answer to that is yes. If not, keep working on it. I'm going to talk about that in a little bit. Okay, if I've repented of my sin, am I humbling myself? Am I denying myself in order that I can follow Christ in the way that he wants me to follow him? And finally, am I being obedient to the call? Have I taken up his cross? And so let me talk real quick about repentance. The word repent means to change one's mind for the better, heartily to amend with abhorrence of one's past sins. Change of mind. That's what repentance is. When Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, what he was saying is, you know what? You need to have a change of mind. You need to stop thinking the way you think now in worldly ways and start thinking in godly ways. And it says there, changing one's mind heartily to amend with abhorrence one's past sins. In other words, your past sins, the things that you've done, the things that I've done, we need to get to the place in our lives where we don't like it anymore. If you don't hate the sin that plagues you, then there's a problem. If we still just enjoy, just whatever the world has to offer, and just enjoy all the sin that's in our lives, and we don't have any abhorrence of, oh my gosh. My wife and I watched a movie last night, and person in the movie got to the place where she just felt dirty and wanted to be clean. She was at a place where she had a change of mind, where she understood that the things that she was doing was not pleasing God, and she felt dirty. She had an abhorrence of her past sins. If that's not you, then let me just encourage you to get on your knees and say, God, this thing in my life, I'm enjoying it a little bit too much. I can't say that I abhor it. I can't say that I hate it. I can't say that it makes me feel dirty. But we have to get to that place. Jesus said, repent. There's a verse there. This is what Paul said he was called to do in Acts chapter 26, verse 18. He says, I was called by Jesus to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me, that is in Jesus. You see, Paul understood what his job was. It was to turn people from their sin to God. Turn them from the darkness and the power of Satan to light and the power of God. That's repentance. There's more verses. Of course, there's more verses that go to repentance. I'm just going to give you a few here. Luke 5:32. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. In Romans, it talks about there are none righteous, which means Jesus came to call all of us to repentance. Acts 3:19, repent therefore, be converted that your sins may be blotted out when that times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. In 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us. Who's grateful that God is long-suffering towards us? In other words, he's very patient. He suffers long with us sometimes. But he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so what we really need to do is we need to make a decision in our minds to change and let Jesus make the change in us as we follow him. Repentance is a process, isn't it? It's a process. Our part of repentance really is a decision to do whatever it takes to go and sin no more. Now, we like to throw that out there, don't we? When people come along and they start telling us what's going on in their lives and all this and all that, and we'll be like, we'll point that right out. Oh, the Bible says to go and sin no more. But let me ask you this question. How many of us found the go and sin no more part of repentance an easy task? Was that easy for any of us? And so we have to learn how to communicate to people with grace, communicate to people with love. Yes, they do need to get to that place in their lives where they go and sin no more, but it's not going to happen if they don't have a change of mind. It's not going to happen if they don't come to that decision to do whatever it takes to go and sin no more. And so here's the thing. The reason why we struggle to change is because it takes us a while to figure out that we can't change on our own. How many of us have tried to change our sinful habits on our own strength? Did it work? No. Never works. Anything we try to do in our own strength. And so what we do is we hear this message, oh, we got to repent because the kingdom of heaven is at hand. God wants us to stop sinning and we need to go and do his will and please him. Okay, I'm going to do that. And we go out there and in our own strength, all right, I'm going to stop doing this, whatever it is in my life that is not pleasing to God, and I can conquer this. And what happens is we fall and we fail when we try to do it in our own strength. We need to realize that Jesus is the one who calls us, Jesus is the one who cleans us, and Jesus is the one who empowers us to change. This is something that our Celebrate Recovery group, I know there are some that have struggled with this, you know, throughout time. And I get this when I go out to the jail and minister as well. I hear people say, you know, how hard it is to change. How hard it is to put your faith in Jesus to do the change in you. Just give it to him. We've all heard the phrase, let go and let God. That's not always easy, is it? Letting go and letting God. Well, you know, that's exactly what he wants us to do. For new believers, the greatest thing to learn is how to trust Jesus to forgive you and to change you from the inside out. Now, we understand a little bit. It seems to be easier to understand, okay, yes, Jesus forgives me of my sin. I can believe that. If you can't believe that, then you're struggling with your salvation. He forgives me of my sin. But you know what? We need to get to the place in our lives where we can also trust him to take our sins away. To remove the desire for sin right out of our hearts. To do the work inside of us that we can't do ourselves. See, he changes us from the inside out. We try to change the outward things, don't we? Well, if we just stop going here, if we just stop doing that, okay, if I just stop hanging out with those people over there, then I'm not going to have the desire to do what it is I do with those people over there any longer. Well, you know what? That may not be true. It's God who needs to work on the inside to take those desires away. When Jesus changes us, we're changed. Think about that for a moment. When we try to change ourselves, we fail over and over again. But when Jesus changes us, we're changed. How many know somebody, or maybe in your own life, something God has made a change in your heart, or a change in your neighbor's heart, or whatever the thing, and they're different. You know, that's the way it should be when we come to Christ. If you don't have a life-changing experience with Jesus Christ, let me encourage you to go deeper. Well, you know, I came to Jesus, but I'm still doing this, and I'm still doing that, and I'm still doing this. You know what? Go deeper in him. Get closer to him. Call upon him. Let him make a change in you that you can't make on your own. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. That doesn't happen just because you showed up to church. That happens because God does an inner work in your heart and changes you. And so if you're struggling with sin and you're just failing over and over again and you just need God to make that change because you can't, then when this service is over, run to this altar and get up here and call upon his name and say, God, I thank you for forgiving me, but please change me too. Now, what happens sometimes, I believe there's two things that God does when we ask him to change us. He'll do one of two things. He'll either take away your desire for the sin and you'll stop, or he will give you the strength through him to endure the temptation without caving to it. There's two things there. I've heard people say, you know what, God just is like, he flipped the switch off. I was done. I've heard people who God spoke to about smoking, they needed to stop smoking, and as soon as they heard God say, you know what, you need to stop smoking, they put them down and they were done. No longer had a desire, no longer had a craving. Well, you know, the devil had millions and millions of people addicted to cigarettes. But you know what, as soon as people start saying, oh, you know what, realizing I can get over this addiction to cigarettes, then he puts in something, the devil comes along with something even worse. And the epidemic of addicts and addiction in this country today is rampant and out of control. And addicts find it so much harder to get off of the other things. Did you know that in Baltimore right now, their murder rate is soaring? And the reason why is because when they had all those lootings and things taking place after that little issue with the cops down there, that the criminals broke into pharmacies and took over 300,000 opioids. And that is on the street now. And there are people that are fighting over it. People that are trying to sell it, people that are trying to buy it, people that are trying to steal it, people that are taking it and just doing crazy things. The addiction in this nation is out of control. But you know what? Even that God can take away. I've seen people who have just, God has just flipped the switch and it's off. And so that's one way that he does it. And I pray that that's how he does it for you. And if that's what you desire, then again, run to this altar and ask God to forgive you and to clean you, to take that away. But sometimes he gives you the strength in him to endure temptation and not cave to it. There's a verse 1 Corinthians 10:13, there is no temptation taken you but such is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able, but with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. You see, that's a whole different ballgame. If you have prayed and prayed, God, take it away, please take it away, please take it, and he hasn't taken it away, then trust him that he's got another way of escape for you. Trust him that, you know what, you are going to be tempted with that, but you can do it, you can deal it. I can give you an example of my own life, and I've shared this at Celebrate Recovery, and I have nothing to hide. I'm forgiven of my sin. But alcohol, God took it away. Took away all the desire. When I was young, I drank plenty. Many of you are like, yeah, that's what I... Well, after I came to Christ, he took my desire for alcohol away. I tried on my own. I couldn't do it. I've shared this testimony before. I couldn't do it on my own. I said, okay, I'll just have three. I'll cut myself down. I tried to do the cut down thing, you know. Go from however many to three a night. And so then I would just go and I'd buy three quarts. Instead of just three little 12-ounce bottles, I'd buy three quarts.
It was just three.
It was only three. That's exactly my mentality. That's how it worked. And then when that wasn't enough, well, you know, three back then they had those beer ball things. Remember those? Three of those would get you a few days. See, in my own strength, I couldn't do it. But after I got saved, he took it away. Well, for those of you who have heard my testimony, which not everybody here has, so please don't be shocked and fall out of your seat, but I was introduced to sexual things at a very young age. And I struggled with pornography from before kindergarten. It started in my life. Well, after I got saved, guess what? God, please take that desire away. But no, that is something that I have to battle. Every man, I believe, in this room, probably, if not every, most, struggles with that particular area. And you know what? Sometimes men fail, sometimes men don't. But I have found through Jesus Christ that I can keep my mind pure. But I know that it's an area of my sin nature that he has given me to deal with. I have to bear it. I know that because that's where Satan will attack me. And that's where Satan attacks many of us. And you know what? I'm not only talking just to men here, because Satan does the same for many of the women as well. Pornography is a huge issue. And I pray to God that if you struggle with that, that he'll just take it away. Hallelujah. But if he doesn't, there's no temptation but as such is common to man. God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted above what you are able. There is an escape. Don't allow your mind to go there. I have learned through the years how not to go there. You know, you don't buy magazines, you don't go places on the internet you don't belong, and you don't allow thoughts that are already in your head to surface and come to the forefront. When I learned that I can turn off the thoughts even in my mind and not go there, not look at those images, wow, what a deliverance that was. God will give you a way of escape. And so if you're struggling, whatever the sin is, if you're struggling and God hasn't taken away, pray and ask him what that escape is. And he'll provide it for you. Repentance. Make a decision to change and let Jesus make the change for you. Follow him. Follow him. What does following him entail? And following him entails listening. When the Spirit says, don't do that, you don't do that. When the Spirit says, don't go there, you don't go there. But you know, for every don't, there's a do. You know what? I don't want you to do that, but I would like you to do this. I don't want you to go there, but I would like you to go here. You know, Jesus doesn't leave us just hanging. But we have to get to the place in repentance where we have made up our mind to make a change and to follow him. I was going to try to go through the rest of this today, but I don't think I better because we'll be here the rest of the day. And so that's the first requirement. Now, you might be saying, Pastor, most of us, if not all of us in this place, are believers. We know this. We've done this. Why is it so important that we're covering this again? I'll tell you why it's so important that we're covering this again. Because this is a message that one day you need to tell somebody else. You need to know it in such a way that you can communicate it with love and grace and help other people come to the place of repentance, a place where they've changed their mind about what's going on in their world and decide, you know what, I'm done with this world. I'm going to go after Jesus Christ. Repentance is a requirement that when we are leading others to Christ, it's something that we need to have an understanding of, something we need to be able to communicate, something that others will be able to receive and hear. And then we can also testify. You know what? Let me tell you how God has helped me with repentance, just like I just shared all that about myself, to help you understand, well, this is how God did it in me. We've all got a testimony. And hopefully your testimony is one of victory. Your testimony is, you know what, I repented. God came into my life and he changed my heart and he gave me tools. He changed me on the inside out and he gives me his word. He gives me his spirit and he gives me direction each and every day to follow him in order that I don't get bogged down with the sin that so plagues my life. You see, that's all of our testimony. And when we transition from disciples to discipler, it's important to understand repentance. Next week, stand with me if you will. Next week, we'll talk about humility and maybe obedience, but maybe just humility. Depends on how it goes. But you know what? I think this is a good place to pause. Because even though we've served the Lord for years and years, there's still things in our lives, perhaps, that we struggle with. And I want to give an opportunity for this church, each individual, to really think about where you're at in your walk with God. Is there something that you need God to turn off? Come and pray and ask him to turn it off. Is there something that he needs to give you an escape route? Come and ask him to show you what the escape route is. Certainly, he does not want us to continue living and failing and falling. But he wants us to learn how to put our faith and trust in him, not only just to forgive us, but also to cleanse us. You see, his blood is sanctifying. It's cleansing. And so if we feel dirty, today's the day to get washed clean and ask God to forgive us and give us strength. And so let's bow our heads and pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we understand that as believers in you, that you want us not to stay just where we are now, but you want us to grow. You want us to learn more of you. Father, I pray that each and every one of us will get to the place where we understand and we can do what it is you've called us to do. That we can communicate all of the requirements that come with salvation, and not only just communicate them, but live them as well in our lives. And so as we talk about repentance this morning, God, I ask that you will cleanse me. I ask, God, that you'll do a work in my heart. And I ask, God, that for every individual in this place, we'll get to that place, God, where we're free from the sin in our lives, either by you just taking it away, or you, Lord God, showing us the escape route. Wash us all here this morning. Bless each one, Father, in Jesus' name. I'm going to sing a song real quick. If you just feel the Holy Spirit tugging at you to come and get whatever it is, I mentioned some serious things. It could be something, and every sin is serious, but, you know, maybe you're a gossiper. Maybe, you know, you just got a bad attitude. Maybe, who knows? But if there's something in your life that the Holy Spirit is just speaking right now, you know what, I'd really like to work on this area. If you just submit it to me, I'm going to ask you to come to the altar and just ask God to forgive you and to give you strength in Him over that. Amen. Amen. Lord, I come. Bowing here, I find my rest. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one who guides my heart. Lord, set us free, that there's power in your name. We can trust you, God. We can trust you each and every moment with each and everything. Bless your people today. Bless your people today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We'll be back tonight at 6 o'clock. I hope you'll come and join us. Where sin runs deep, your grace is more. Where grace is found, it's where you are. Where you are.